I think it's a lot of fun, and I think it's a good exercise for us to get out of the bubble and talk to people who are closer geographically and maybe in other ways to the heartland of America. I also happen to love Birmingham. I've been there a number of times over the years. I know it's a great town. I know of its history, and I know the way people are working hard to create new history there. And I think it's a great place, and the opportunity to do the show at the Lyric Theater and to be surrounded by so many good people and talk to them about things that are important in their lives and to share some good music and have some good times early, an hour earlier in Central Time on a Saturday morning, just struck us as a great opportunity.
What's the story you want to tell from Birmingham?
You know, I don't want to get into specific stories so much because we're still nailing them down. But I think the overall story is we certainly welcome the chance to go to a state and talk to people who voted a certain way in the presidential election, even though we know that Birmingham itself, the city, may not have been part of that company. And I think we want to talk to people who, particularly, let's say, people who have been on the short end of a lot of economic questions, really over the past generation, and get some insight into their lives. And I think we want to get an insight into the people of the community. It's a very sophisticated and cosmopolitan city in a place that I think a lot of people who live in a bubble, and the bubble is not necessarily just Washington, D.C., New York, Chicago, or Santa Monica, but in bubble-ish communities across the country where they may not be expecting that. I suspect there are areas of Birmingham that might be a bubble one way or another. And I think it's going to be good for everyone to get to know a variety of viewpoints and to try and understand people as people and the circumstances that drive their lives and the decisions they make, and for that matter, the dreams that they have.
How will Weekend Edition be different before a live audience?
You know, we'll feel our way through that. I don't know exactly. And I think that's going to be good. I think people are getting used to that in programming. And I want to open it up. And we don't want to do just our traditional show from there. Otherwise, we'd do it in a studio. We want to make the audience part of what we're doing. We want them to talk. We want to engage them. We want them to react. And I can't think of a better place to do it than at the Lyric Theater in Birmingham.
When your mother passed away in 2013, this could have been a very private moment, but you chose to be very public about it by tweeting her final days. Why did you do that?
You know, firstly, of course, it was a private moment. I think the fact that I was tweeting about what was going on didn't detract from the private time that I had with my mother. I'm a reporter. There's a reason why I'm in broadcasting and not espionage. I'm accustomed to sharing what happens to us in life. So I certainly did have those private moments. I think at the same time, I understood it was a universal experience that all of us one way or another have had or will have. And I think for a lot of people who reach the end of their lives, and my mother certainly in the last few days knew this is where it was leading for her, I think there's a kind of grace and a kind of wisdom and a special sense of humor that they have. And my mother knew who I am and what I did for a living. And I think there were things that she said that she wanted to share and that she knew I would. I'll never forget when she looked up at one time and she said, "Baby, you really ought to spend more time talking to people in their 80s. Because they have looked right across the street at death for the last 10 years, and they know what's really important in life." I just saw no reason not to share something like that, you know, and her wonderful sense of humor. I mean, it was very, very difficult to sleep. I remember at one point, one of the very fine intensive care unit nurses said to her something like, "You should get some sleep." And my mother said, "Why? No, I don't." Good question for someone who's dying. Why would I want to waste it sleeping? There were just so many things that she said that I think were absolutely worth sharing. And I certainly understood that they meant a lot to other people, too, at the same time.
In terms of hosting, you also wear your emotions on your sleeve. There's a lot of examples where your personality comes through in your hosting. Mm-hmm. Yet for the most part in public radio, hosting is not a personality-driven thing. So why do you sort of take that approach?
you know, I don't know any other way to be. It's as simple as that. This is, you know, this is just who I am on the air. I mean, this is, I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know any other way to be. So I don't have an intricate or artful answer to that. I don't make an attempt at doing that. I don't make an attempt not to do it. I mean, I hope I can put a cork in it when it's necessary. But on the other hand, I also think that somehow, you know, sharing the emotion of a moment, if you're in breaking news coverage and something tragic happens, I think that's I think that's one of the things that we can also do to help people share the feeling and resonance of an event. The humor part, I don't give it any particular thought. You know, they open the mic and there I am.
Do you foresee a time when terrestrial radio, as we know it, will go away?
I mean, yes, of course, but that doesn't mean radio will go away. There'll be a different delivery system. I think in many ways it's begun to happen already. How many people right now are listening to us over the World Wide Web, one way or another? I don't believe we have a terrestrial radio in our apartment, my family and I. We listen over the internet. And of course, we obviously always listen to NPR stations. But remember, my wife is French, and it's great to be able to listen to French radio, and we want our children to be able to do it. Alas, maybe not on Saturday morning, but they do anyway, I must say. That's when they listen to a lot of French radio, when I'm on the air here. And I think it's another delivery system, and it means we have more competition, but I think it means the opportunities for people to find something that engages them are wider than ever, and that's good. We just have to give them the kind of programming that will draw them in and mean something in their lives.